Hey, Rich Eisen here. I hear from a lot of business owners like you about the work it takes to pursue your passions. So I know how important it is to have the tools that can help keep you moving forward. And with access to world-class business and travel benefits, the American Express Business Platinum Card helps you take your business to the next level. It offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business. Plus, you'll have complimentary access to more than 1,400 airport lounges worldwide, including the Centurion Lounge, so you can keep running your business while you're on the go. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness.
This episode brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever find yourself playing the budgeting game? Shifting a little money here, a little there, and hoping it all works out? Well, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive, you can get a better budgeter and potentially lower your insurance bill too. You tell Progressive what you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll help find you options within your budget. Try it today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Not available in all states.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
And the dancing begins.
We've got our men's predictions, and who's going to win it all? Christopher, you want to go first?
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Duke over St. John's in the final.
Rock shock, I got Kansas over Auburn.
You got Kansas?
Ooh. I'm taking Florida over Duke.
Earlier on the show, NFL draft analyst for The Ringer, Todd McShay. Coming up, ESPN senior NFL writer Jeremy Fowler, WWE superstar Seth Rollins. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
That's right. Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. We've got ourselves some college basketball first round action in the men's tournament going down. We've got two different things to tell you about. There's a low point for Louisville, down 44-27 to Creighton. Oof. So right now, Creighton's at its high point. See where I'm going with this? Mm-hmm. Or you don't know where I'm going with this. I think you know where I'm going with this. Right now, Purdue is up by one on an actual school in the tournament called High Point.
The caller makes a good point.
Thank you very much. The ghost of Larry King has chimed in on the Rich Eisen Show. Who knew? So that's what we got going on right now, man. In the first round. Montana and Wisconsin.
Yep. Next up
are warming up. A game that I'm very laser focused on, because we'll see if Montana is a bit of a, if you will, with all due respect to Big Sky folks, pushover. Wisconsin would have this opportunity to take on Montana as the 3 seed, the runners up of the Big Ten tournament. To Michigan, which beat Wisconsin and has a seemingly tougher opponent tonight in UC San Diego. That's my preview of that matchup that will be tipping off in the middle of hour number two. Hey, you know what? Leave that one to me. And Chris, you can break down Houston or preview Houston and SIU Edwardsville for later on. And look that up, because that's going to be, I need background information on them.
On it.
Okay. Joining us now from ESPN is none other than senior NFL reporter, Jeremy Fowler. Good to see you. How are you, Jeremy?
Hey, Rich. Thanks for having me, man.
Are you currently in the halls of Bristol?
I am.
Right now?
I'm in the halls by the little coffee bar here as soon as you walk into Studio X. So I just got done with some SportsCenter.
Okay.
Making time for my good friends over here.
What's the name of the studio? What are we calling it? Studio what? What is it?
I think it's Studio X. I think it's the main SportsCenter studio now.
I've been around in 22 years.
If
I strolled in there, Jeremy, I'd probably need you to be my tour guide. Just take me around I don't recognize what's behind you. Let's start with that.
This building is new, but the rest of it is pretty much the same.
Is it really? Is it frozen in time? Like if I left a sandwich there in 2002, it might still be sitting there? Is that what you're saying?
For sure. Well, the cafe has been upgraded. The cafeteria common area is new. Like building 4, some of those buildings you probably remember
exactly the same. All right. Very good. What's going on with Aaron Rodgers as far as we could tell right now, Jeremy?
What's happening?
So as far as we can tell right now, from what I understand, you know, the Vikings essentially shelved the matter. They thought about it extensively. That would have been a priority for him, is my understanding, just because of the team. You can win a Super Bowl there. So he was kind of waiting them out, had some talks with the Vikings. They discussed it internally, decided, let's go with McCarthy as the QB1 for this spring, make sure he's all good for the offseason workouts. Maybe if Rodgers is still available later in the spring or summer, we could revisit. But that seems unlikely at this point. So if we're crossing the Vikings off, he has standing offers, from what I understand, from both the Pittsburgh Steelers and the New York Giants. So no firm determination on where he's going yet. This is Rodgers' first foray into free agency in his 20-year career. So a lot of people really just don't know what to expect or what he's going to decide or what the timeline really is. I mean, he could drag this out. He could decide in 2 hours. I can't pretend to know that answer right now. But most people around the league I talk to do believe that the Steelers would be the favorite because they're the better on-field product as opposed to the Giants. My understanding is the Steelers are willing to wait here a little bit and wait out Rodgers and see what he decides.
Well, okay, put a pin in that for a second. Did you say Rodgers did have meetings with the Vikings? They did have conversations? They did talk? Best you can tell?
Well, I don't think it like a formal meeting. I think there was at least some dialogue there at some point. Okay. I don't know the nature, but I do know the Vikings internally discussed the matter and went from there. And my sense is the Vikings knew that there was some potential interest from Rodgers, certainly, in playing for Minnesota. Where it went beyond that or the nature of the talks, I don't know.
Okay, so then what, based on your conversations or knowledge of the Vikings internals, what did they finally decide tip the scales in J.J. McCarthy's favor here, Jeremy?
Well, the line or the thinking I got, the messaging I got, even dating back to last week, was Rodgers is possible but unlikely. That was the feeling coming out of their free agent meetings last week. And ultimately, that's what became true is, you know, the line I kept hearing was we're committed to J.J. McCarthy's development. So because of that, they knew he's going to be the franchise quarterback. It just really depended on whether that would be now or 4 months from now or 12 months from now was kind of the conversation. So they were kicking that around. You know, do we need to play JJ and make him the guy in year two? Do we absolutely need to do that? Or do we get somebody to step in here for a year? We have a ready-made roster. We're trying to win a Super Bowl. We can do that. Do we plug into Rodgers for a year and then go to McCarthy after that? Like, those were some of the conversations that were going on. They ultimately decided, in part because of what McCarthy showed last offseason, last training camp, in some limited preseason action before he got hurt, they were really impressed. So they want to ride that out in the spring, see if he can build off that, and they expect him to.
Well, we always hear the phrase, it's a 12:01 league, right, Jeremy? A minute after midnight is when deals get done, and we have to figure out when the midnight is and then wait the extra minute. When is 12:01 for the Steelers on the Rodgers matter, best you can tell?
That's a good question. I think I mean, look, probably the draft. Maybe they're even willing to wait up until the draft. I think regardless, the Steelers are going to look into their draft options and take a hard evaluation of the quarterbacks. If not this year, then next year. You know, they don't have a second-round pick now because of the DK Metcalf deal. So if they don't get Rodgers or they just get impatient, you know, do they take one in the first or third rounds would probably be the conversation. You know, they were in Alabama with Jalen Milroe, had dinner with him. I wouldn't understate that because Pittsburgh actually has a penchant for looking into and drafting guys they have dinner with. Like, it's sort of a tell for them sometimes. So if you're willing to draft a guy like Milroe who needs development and needs to be behind the scenes, but if you can build an offense around him after he waits for 2 years, you could really have something if he develops as a passer, which is a big question now league-wide whether he can do that. But the upside is really intriguing. So, you know, they're going to look at those options hard. I expect in one of the next 2 years they go aggressively in the draft for a passer. Like, they acknowledge they have to do that. But in the meantime, they are in a position to wait on Rodgers for at least a little while because, you know, they didn't work out with Justin Fields. They gave him a competitive offer, from what I understand. It didn't work out. He went to the Jets. So right now, Russell Wilson would probably be their backup option, but I just don't sense a lot of momentum right there between Wilson and the Steelers reuniting. They have Mason Rudolph on the roster. I'm told they do, at least in a pinch, feel comfortable with him starting games. So they have somebody they're familiar with who's been in the building that they've scouted for years. Like, if he had to play some games in 2025, they feel like that wouldn't be the worst thing. So because of that, they are set up to wait, but I can't imagine they're willing to wait, you know, 3 or 4 months. So I think they're hoping, like everybody else, that there's a resolution at some point in the next days and weeks.
All right. So in the meantime, grind tape on the rest of the quarterback class, not named Ward or Shador. If Shador's there 21st overall at some point, and we'll get to that in a second as a possibility, maybe you hit that or Dart or Shuck if you like him a lot, you know, where you draft him in the first round knowing you don't have a two and he might not be there at three unless Jalen Milroe is a guy that they've identified, and which leads me to the follow-up here. Who in the history of the Steelers dinner list did they draft? You got a list of me for that in your mental Rolodex here, Jeremy?
I'm trying to think of like T.J. Watt.
Okay.
Artie Burns, a cornerback who's still in the league but didn't quite pan out as a first round pick. But a lot of their first round picks they did have dinner with, if I recall. I used to cover the team as a beat guy like 2016 to 19, and every year they had dinner with the guy. They do have a history of that, for sure.
So you're calling restaurants and towns and college towns asking, you know, is there a table for Rooney and Tomlin tonight? And like, oh, you know, you can draw some lines. I love that. Jeremy Fowler here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's talk about the top of the draft and the Titans' decision. What do you think is going on right now in Nashville, Jeremy?
Well, the sentiment league-wide seems to be that Cam Ward would be the guy. Now, I'm told the Titans have not made a firm determination yet. They really want to go through this thorough process, meet with everybody, get on the road. They'll probably do some private workouts with both Cam Ward and Shador Sanders and probably Abdul Carter and Travis Hunter and some of those top players. But I do know that Cam Ward's interviews with the Titans went well, that people there felt like he explained his mistakes really well. He came across as coachable. Like when he answered about why he made a play that didn't work out or an interception or a fumble, like he had really clean, good explanations about it that you can coach around. So they feel like not only does he have a lot of athletic ability and upside and the ability to make all the throws, but, you know, he's got a competitive spirit and he wants to get better and wants to learn from mistakes and be a really clean, proficient player, efficient player at the quarterback position in the NFL. So they feel pretty good about that. Now, does that lean them to make that pick? And have they locked into that? No, I don't think so. But most teams I talk to are loosely preparing for the Titans to go that route. Now, I do think at a point in time in the process, they were intrigued by trading back. So if they feel like they can trade back and still get a quarterback they want, that's an option they would look into. But right now, it does seem the momentum is trending toward Ward.
Okay. And what are you hearing on Sanders? You know, as high as two and as low as a second round pick? I mean, are you hearing that, Jeremy? What are you hearing about?
So it's fascinating to try to dissect that. And I've really been in like the free agency haze the last 2 weeks. So I'm now digging back into the draft a little bit. But I would say with Shador, there are, it's a little all over the map with how teams feel about him. I do know the Browns, there's some love for Shador in the Browns building. How much love, I don't know. But there's like, they see him as a positive as opposed to like somebody they want to knock in the process. You know, like they like his sort of computer mind processing ability. They feel like there's some good upside there in what he can do and operate in Kevin Stefanski's offense, which, by the way, Shador would be a good fit for Brian Callahan's offense too. So schematically, he makes some sense for some teams. It's just a matter of where they grade him. Do they feel like it's too rich for a quarterback that maybe in last year's draft would be, say, the fifth or sixth option? You know, is it too rich to take him top five? But these guys get pushed up. All three teams in the top three desperately need a quarterback and do not have a solution right now. I do expect the Giants to sign somebody. If they get impatient, it's probably Russell Wilson, who I'm told looks at the Giants as a viable option and has for a while. Joe Flacco, Jameis Winston, but they're going to get somebody if it's not Rodgers. But is that enough? I mean, they still need to sell some hope there, and Shador makes some sense for them at three. So is it too rich? Maybe, but I expect somebody to jump on him. I don't know that I anticipate a huge free fall. If he gets past the quarterback needy teams high, then maybe we see some of that like we did with Rodgers once upon a time 20 years ago. But I'd be surprised based on the current quarterback climate.
Well, how much does Kirk Cousins lurk, Jeremy? I mean, the Falcons went ahead and said, throw the $10 million in 2026 log on the fire, whatever, we'll deal with that down the road. And, you know, while Rodgers makes his decision, somebody might call up Terry Fontenot and offer a draft choice depending on and the draft choice where it is depends on how much money Atlanta's willing to eat or something, right? Like that is possible, isn't it?
Yes.
Here?
It's possible, but it's stagnant right now because No team is just going to tell Atlanta, hey, we'll cover $20 million of that contract. Sure. And we'll throw in a fifth round pick. Like, nobody's going to make that leap. And so if they're not making that leap, Atlanta's not motivated. Like, but team source there told me, like, we've paid him. These are guaranteed monies. So we don't need to do anything right now. Maybe closer to the draft this heats up, but they really are prepared to hold on to him until something crystallizes where they feel like they can get good value. Teams I talked to believe this is an ownership decision in Atlanta, that Arthur Blank just paid this guy now. It's going to be $100 million in guaranteed money for essentially 1 year of production and a benching. Now, Cleveland to me still looms large here, because I do believe, based on what I've gathered, that when he got benched, that Cousins was firmly on their radar. They were going to look at all the quarterbacks with starting potential, but that Cousins makes sense for Kevin Stefanski. Like, they looked at that as a realistic option for them potentially. But right now, he's just simply not available until Atlanta changes their mind or becomes a little more flexible or aggressive here. But they haven't yet. So until then, Cousins is sort of locked into Georgia and is looking for a new home and can't find one.
Okay, so then you said you've been in the free agent haze over the last 2 weeks. What's your take coming out of it, Jeremy? You know, just knowing all the moves that were made,
yeah.
And this, the general headline coming out of it would be what, in your estimation?
I mean, the money was crazy. Guys got overpaid. I mean, we see that every year, right? You say B players get A money in free agency, but there were, I mean, no offense to some of the guys that were out there, but you had like sort of middle of the road offensive tackles getting $20+ million a year. That's just the way it was. And the money came early. So like by Tuesday or Wednesday, free agency was kind of dead. I mean, a lot of the players had signed and some of the money had dried up. Usually it's like a 2 week run of some money being spent. Right now, it just hasn't been. So there were a lot of re-signs, you know, like Kansas City was interesting to me, you know, because they kept Nick Bolton, kept Trey Smith on the franchise tag. Like, they were pretty aggressive in what they did. Signed Jalen Moore, who's like only started a few games at left tackle for San Francisco, has high upside, but a little inconsistent. Like, Kansas City to me is saying, okay, we're not just going to run it back. We're going to sort of retool, find some new pieces. They get cornerback Christian Fulton, give him real money. Like, they're trying some new things. They trade Joe Tooney. Like, them to me were the Chiefs were the most interesting, and the Colts. I mean, Chris Ballard, every year we see him take accountability for his team. Like, hey, we didn't get it done. But then they're not overly aggressive every year. This year they went and got two really good defensive backs, Charvarius Ward, Cam Bynum, and they make the Daniel Jones signing happen. And I sense some relief there among some people in Indianapolis that they have more of a backdrop at quarterback if Anthony Richardson doesn't work out. Like, they feel like they can make it work with Jones, and he very well might earn that job.
That's brother, I was hearing that at the combine, that they liked Jones as the guy to offer competition. And I'm just wondering if the words offer competition is a fig leaf, Jeremy, you know, like that if, or a roadmap, let's say that. Yeah. And that the roadmap is, if they truly are going to put these guys out on a field in OTAs, training camp, and say, may the best quarterback win, that Daniel Jones is the week one starter in Indianapolis, Jeremy, unless some sort of Anthony Richardson fire has been lit. I don't know. Right.
And I am leaving room for that fire being lit. I talked to somebody in Richardson's camp at the combine about this whole dynamic, and I brought up Daniel Jones and some of the things I was hearing. Mm-hmm. And they said, Anthony doesn't care if they bring in Joe Montana. Like, he's going to go win that job. And I did, maybe that's just talk, but I did find it interesting. Like, I think he, talking to some people there in Indy, they did feel like he was trending slightly up by the end of the year. He had regrouped a little bit, was playing a little better, but it's the inconsistent play with the durability where they're like, we have to get somebody and we have to spend a little bit of money. But they spent, what, $14 million with some upside? Like, that tells you that the chances of him starting are not small. On a smaller scale, we saw it with the Raiders last year when they gave Gardner Minshew like $12 million. And he was competing with Aiden O'Connell. Some people in the building liked O'Connell better, but Minshew had been a financial commitment to them, so they went with him. So sometimes you see that happening. The money usually talks, and in this case, it talks a little bit.
Did you follow up by asking, is this 1985 Joe Montana or 2025 Joe Montana? Did you follow up with which form?
I didn't clarify. Okay. But yeah, Richardson would probably have a hard time being a Joe Montana right now. But what's funny is he's more talented, and he's one of the most talented guys in the league. I mean, he's got incredible ability. So they're not discounting that in Indy either.
But there's a reason why Daniel Jones was brought there. I mean, that's a period. End of story. And just a... Man, that's why we love this league, Jeremy. Say hi to everybody in the hallways there.
I will, Rich. Appreciate you.
Always. Thanks for saying hello. That's Jeremy Fowler at JFowler ESPN right here on the Rich Eisen Show. So here's what I'm going to glean from all this. Jeremy is now the latest individual that I've you know, sussed about Rodgers and, you know, and we ask about that Schefter tweet, that post that came out of him pointing out that there's been no first round picks traded in this draft. Mm-hmm. And the last time we were this close to a draft, and we're 34 days away, that we haven't seen a first round selection traded was when the Chiefs gave up a first rounder for Joe Montana 5 days before that draft that they acquired. Joe Montana was at 93 or something like that. I think I've finally put my finger on it here. So the Titans are grinding their tape on Cam Ward and Shador and Abdul Carter and Travis Hunter.
And probably their own guy, Will Levis.
Correct. They're going through this process. The Browns are sitting there at 2. They're doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. Having averted total and complete disaster with Myles Garrett. Hold out hell. Okay, they avert that. Okay, they avert that. They bring in Kenny Pickett via trade. Mm-hmm. So they've got one in the building. They bring in Russ. They're deciding who else are they going to bring in while grinding tape on the quarterbacks to also figure out, do they trade up to go to one to end the story and get their guy and not have to depend on Tennessee's choices. And also monitoring what might be going on with Kirk Cousins. And Atlanta is chilling like the proverbial villain. Okay. They are chilling. The deadline that some people thought might spur action last Saturday, if he's on the roster, $10 million in 2026 become guaranteed. The Falcons are like, whatever. We've already spent $100 million on this guy. He didn't even give us a full season. He was benched. And we've got a kid that we're going to start with an injury history. And who better to have sitting around to teach the kid and also maybe fill in for the kid than Kirk Cousins? He may not like it, but too bad. Unless somebody gets desperate. And the people who could potentially get desperate are sitting there in New Jersey in the Giants' offices, because the Jets aren't desperate. They went ahead and they got their kid, Justin Fields, and they'll figure out what the draft is there. They're not trading up for a quarterback. The Raiders get Geno Smith. They're not desperate like last year, right? Mm-hmm. They're out of that business. They're not trading up for a quarterback. The Saints are sitting there at 9. I mean, they're not going to trade up for a quarterback. One wouldn't think, but they could, but there's no desperate reason to do so because they've handled their car business, right? So they're not desperate. Who could be desperate? The Giants. Now that's a desperate team potentially. And the Steelers, if they feel desperate, now they could sit here and say, Mason Rudolph, we're fine going with that, but we've seen that movie before. And they might get Russ or might not get Russ, but Russ isn't being snapped up by anybody right now because they're waiting on Rodgers. Sitting here in California staring at sunrises. And until he makes a decision, nobody's going to get desperate enough to call the Titans and say, what's up?
Right.
And if he just chooses the Steelers and the Giants get desperate, does that make Cleveland more desperate? Uh-oh. They might be burning the phones up to Tennessee. We got to get on that. Right? So we're waiting on Rodgers. And I think that's the logjam at this. Nobody's trading a first-round selection. Plus, I guess people are still grinding tape on the quarterbacks. Nobody is all in on Cam Ward like he's Caleb or Trevor Lawrence back in the day. No one's in on him to say, like, or Goff or Wentz, where, you know, the Eagles had a hopscotch up two spots all the way from the middle of the draft. Nobody's starting to move around to position themselves right before the draft to move up again. I think I've gotten this right. Until Rodgers decides what's up, no one's going to, like, he's kind of frozen everything in time right now. I think I'm not missing any pieces here. Like, that's what's going on. Until he decides and makes a decision and turns a team, or if he retires, potentially two teams into someone more desperate. Now, the Steelers might be like, we can just stick and pick our quarterback if we love Dart or Shuck, because they should be around 21. And if they're not, on draft night, they could move up on draft night if they're like, okay, he's close enough, we love him enough, let's go up four or five spots and go get him. The Giants have the luxury of potentially sticking and picking? Possibly? Because if the Browns want Ward, but not enough to go get him, and Ward's gone, and they're sitting there at two, and the choice is Abdul Carter, Travis Hunter, Shedeur Sanders, do they maybe go Travis Hunter and say,
right,
let's go, we've got a unicorn here to go with a lot of other talented players. Sure, we don't have the quarterback thing figured out, but we do have the 33rd overall pick, second night, first pickup. Do we trade back in at the end of the first round to get the guy that we want? Do we not? The Giants could stick and pick. Or do they get desperate if Rodgers says no to them? And they don't go and get Kirk Cousins from Atlanta. Because it would be cheaper to get Kirk Cousins from Atlanta, monetarily and draft capital, than it would be to trade up to go get Shedeur or Cam. And you can win games now and maybe get your guy later on in the draft too. This is why I think everything's frozen in time. We'll take a break right here on the Rich Eisen Show. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Seth Rollins on this program in hour number three. I've got a top five list of the winners of the offseason so far.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. You chose to hit play on this podcast today. Smart choice. Progressive loves to help people make smart choices. That's why they offer a tool called Auto Quote Explorer that allows you to compare your Progressive car insurance quote with rates from other companies. So you save time on the research and can enjoy savings when you choose the best rate for you. Give it a try after this episode at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, Rich Eisen here. I hear from a lot of business owners like you about the work it takes to pursue your passions. So I know how important it is to have the tools that can help keep you moving forward. And with access to world-class business and travel benefits, the American Express Business Platinum Card helps you take your business to the next level. It offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business. Plus, you'll have complimentary access to more than 1,400 airport lounges worldwide, including the Centurion Lounge, so you can keep running your business while you're on the go. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness.
Some people just know they could save hundreds on car insurance by checking Allstate first. The same way you know you've got to make sure your lucky jersey is clean on game day or your team might lose. Checking first is smart. So check Allstate first for a quote that could save you hundreds. You're in good hands with Allstate. Savings vary, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
We have a game that we play here called Start, Bench, Cut.
Okay.
Sort of like the you know what, marry, kill game. Yeah. Okay. Where you we give
keep
you,
it clean.
We try. Yeah. Goodness. Well, start bench. Well, we make the goodness of the virgin. Of that, you know, the marry part is the bench part.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. So we give you three. Here we go.
Start now.
Bench. Just sit down and be quiet.
Or cut.
Get out.
All right. Start bench cut here with Kevin Hart. Here are your three choices to play basketball at, have it as a teammate.
Okay.
The Rock, Cube, or Will Ferrell. You have to start one of them.
All right. Well, I'm going to start.
Bench one, or you've been in movies with all of these guys.
Yeah, I have. I'm going to start Will Ferrell.
You start Will Ferrell. Yeah,
Jackie Moon gets to start. Okay. Just because I know that he's got the passion behind the game.
Okay.
His spirit is always high. I'm going to cut The Rock. I'm going to cut him.
He's out. Out? Wow.
He's out.
Why?
His attitude.
Oh.
His attitude. His attitude. I don't like his attitude.
And you're going to bench Cube? You're going to bring Cube off the bench as a sixth
man? I'm going to bring Cube off the bench. I'm bringing Cube off the bench because Cube is too cool to play the whole game. So there's going to be moments where Cube look at his sneaks and be like, I just realized I'm messing these up. And I'm like, you're right, Cube. You okay. Sit down for a second and get your new pair of sneaks. You got to keep him calm, you know? You don't want him giving you, you like just getting upset. So I got to make sure that tomorrow's going to be
he'll
a good
have
day.
Sunglasses on. It's too dark.
Yeah, he's going to be real cool. Yeah.
And plus, it's a smart move here with Will's the tallest of them all. Nice Will's inside tall. Out game with you.
Yeah, me and Will are going to dominate. I got to start Will. But the Rock's out of here. He's cut. Bye.
YouTube channel, everybody, check it out, everybody. Purdue closed the half strong. They're up 10 on High Point, which is a high point for them in the game. I'm going to keep saying that. Creighton is up on top of Louisville.
They are shooting the lights
I
out.
I think I Louisville. Saw during the commercial break here, CBS popped up a stat that teams that lead in the first half by 15 or more points in the first round since 1990 are like 140-0. Back on the Rich Eisen Show radio network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Terzo and I will all rise. Our friend is back on the program, right in the middle, a centerpiece of today's Thursday program. What's going on, Terzo?
I appreciate it, Rich. What's up, Rich? What's up, Brock?
What's going on?
How are you, man?
What's up, G?
Hey, that guy that used to do sound, that Del Tufo guy, thought he'd be a really cool guy that I could go have some adult beverages with, but now that he's jump ship to the Dodgers. I just don't know if that would ever happen.
Mm. I pick winners. Sorry, Terzo.
You jumped on a ship, buddy. Come on now.
Wait, Terzo, I forget. Are you Cubs?
No, I'm a huge Giants. And 49ers fan.
Okay. So Giants.
Oh yeah, so
fan.
Definitely.
A Giants
definitely
fan
like
must
Dodgers.
Not like what Mike you have done.
Like
he's
this.
Wearing a Dodger hat today, Terzo.
Yeah, I know. I see it on the road.
It's actually channel. Old,
I know. That's why I was wanting to give him a hard time about it.
So it's
never seen that hat.
What did Matt Kemp give it to you
no,
when you were in for him?
These, like,
is that how
like,
far back you go?
Probably 10, 15 years ago. I don't wear. I'm wearing
Steve
them now.
Steve Sachs gave him that hat.
Who gave it to you?
No one's ever seen. That
I bought them.
Tom Niedenfuhr give it to you.
Pedro Guerrero give you that hat.
You bought it?
I purchased these.
Terza, you're breaking news. He bought something that he's wearing.
Yeah,
I ain't buying it.
Yeah, that's I'm kind of shocked by that. I don't believe that in any slightest. As long as I've been listening to the show, that doesn't track.
What's on your mind?
Well, Rich, this I want to say to all the Steelers fans out there that don't want Rodgers. Stop thinking that he's the bad guy in the locker room. I think you've reported on this. Like the Jets players were like, hey, we're upset that he's gone. So I just tell all the Steelers fans, just relax, just let this play out. I believe he'd be a good fit for y'all, and I think he'd work well. He just needs to make sure that all the chakras align so he makes his decision.
I honestly think the chakras that you might be referring to were the Vikings. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, that's what I think, Terzo. You know, and thanks for the call, brother. You be well. That's Terzo and I all right
see
here.
See you, bud.
Listen, I don't blame Rodgers for kicking the tires on the Vikings and until they tell him, yeah, let's move on. We're not interested now. If you're available in the spring and the summer after we get a look-see at J.J. McCarthy and we're beginning to see the knee injury has defrayed him from our evaluation that we had of him initially, or he's just not ready yet physically, he's still the same guy, he could use one more year, then we'll be interested. And if you're around, you know, but just you have to understand, we drafted him, we like him, we have been seasoning him, we got to see it. Makes sense. Rodgers telling the Giants and the Steelers, I'm going through a process, makes sense. But if the Vikings have now told him, you may move on, and if he looks at the Steelers and the Giants and goes, you know what? I'll just wait for the Vikings evaluation. Then the Steelers and the Giants have got to go, okay. Then we're moving on. And they make other plans. And then if Rodgers turns around in the summer and goes, oh, no, I really want to play football, well, then that's on him. But I don't blame him for wanting the Vikings, because I was thinking about this, gents. Certainly because you know I'm rooting for J.J. McCarthy. And when you are a kid coming into the NFL, man, oh, man, I understand we have this conversation every year right around this time, certainly on draft night, certainly in the few weeks after the draft, and then watching a rookie go through his first season in the NFL. Nature versus nurture. How much does somebody's success in the NFL come from his God-given ability and where he's drafted? Because right. How many guys in this league go down the tubes or have to start from scratch at age 27, 28, 29, 30 because they were drafted in the wrong spot, a spot where the owner sucks, in a spot where there's always churning on the coaching staff.
Too much turnover.
Right. A spot where, oh, you're drafted high, the team isn't ready for you, and suddenly you, like David Carr, are staring up at the blue sky.
Getting your brains beat in there.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
That'll stunt your growth.
How many times? So that's the conversation. And last year, we're like, Caleb Williams, man, being drafted, what a spot. He's got the weapons and he's got the defense. But what he didn't have was an offensive line. Mm-hmm. And what he also didn't have was a solid coaching situation by any stretch. J.J. McCarthy has another J.J. that he's throwing to. Right?
Yeah.
Like,
Jettis.
Come on.
Heard of him.
Jordan Addison. They just signed Rondale Moore yesterday. They got Aaron Jones back in the fold. They put Jordan Mason on their roster to back him up. I was calling a Vikings-Jets game last year in London. Aaron Jones went out in the middle of it, and their running back situation wasn't the same the rest of the game. That would change now. You see how Jordan Mason backed up Christian McCaffrey last year, right? He was the waiver wire darling of the universe. Because the Vikings have a terrific offense, and in terms of your coach, he's the coach of the year who just signed a new contract. He's going nowhere, and his pedigree is to connect to somebody like J.J. McCarthy and nurture. He's in an amazing spot. And Vikings fans have got to understand, in Kevin O'Connell, Kwesi, and the ownership, you trust. Kid's a winner. He's lost one game since high school. One. And I saw what he can do. And Jim didn't turn him loose for various reasons. You got Blake Corum scoring 90 touchdowns.
He didn't have to.
Right?
Didn't have to. Your offensive and defensive line that year was
stellar.
Dominant.
Take a look at who's in the pros now.
Exactly.
From the last 2-3 years.
Yep.
Look who's coming this year.
He didn't have to turn him loose. And I always shoot you straight. Michigan didn't have anybody like Justin Jefferson. Okay.
I think we would have heard of them.
You know what I mean?
But the thing is, there ain't a whole lot of JJs out there.
You know, and we'll see what Roman Wilson can do with the Steelers, but nobody like Jordan Addison either, man. Burners who are matchup problems for everyone. By the way, I didn't mention TJ Hockenson coming back for a full year now.
Yep.
Get that offensive line handled. They made some nice moves in free agency. My top five will be talking about this a bit more. But McCarthy's in a great spot. And he knows it, too. He knows it. So I don't think they're going to be knocking on Rodgers' door in spring and summer. if that is what is part of Rodgers' mindset, who the hell knows, right? Right now, what his mindset could be as to why he's not jumping on with this. Like, all right, the Vikings have closed the door. Is he waiting for another one to open, or is he really considering it, or he doesn't need to tell him right now, or I don't know. There's no deadline. He likes staring at the sunrise and sunset. I don't know. But at some point, he's going to have to come off the beach and tell somebody something. Mm-hmm. And I don't blame him for, maybe this is him staring at the ocean and going, are the Vikings calling today? I don't know. It made sense to delay it, but JJ's in a great spot, and I don't think he's going to fumble it. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the program. As we mentioned, Seth Rollins on the program in Hour 3. I got a top five list. Women's Sports Now is out there on the Roku platform. We'll be discussing that as well. At the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event, get deals so right, it almost feels wrong. Now's the best time to get that Hyundai car or SUV you've always wanted. Plus, every new Hyundai comes with America's best warranty and 3 years or 36,000 miles of limited complimentary maintenance. Don't think you can get away with all that? Think again. But don't wait. The Hyundai Getaway Sales Event is going on now. So visit your local Hyundai dealer today. It's a great day for a new Hyundai.
This episode is brought to you by LifeLock. It's tax season, and we're all a bit tired of numbers. But here's one you need to hear. $16.5 billion. That's how much the IRS flagged for possible identity fraud last year. Now here's a good number. 100 million. That's how many data points LifeLock monitors every second. If your identity is stolen, they'll fix it, guaranteed. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/podcast. Terms apply.
Yeah, case in point of me not paying attention, filling out the brackets. I chose Louisville instead of Creighton. And I was saying, like, you know, you look at Creighton and Drake, and you have to choose them every time. Did I take Drake?
I did.
Drake?
Yeah, I did take Drake. So I was
took Drake, you know, too. Yeah,
watch, I'll screw that one up, too.
The 8-9s are tough.
You know, and how the other day I was talking about how Michigan got screwed on the seedings, which it did. And it's the truth. It's the absolute truth. They got screwed on the seating. And I was saying, you know, hey, Cooper and I were watching the Big Ten championship game and everyone throwing up bricks. And he's like, this is tough to watch. And I'm like, this is Wisconsin basketball. And boy, I get a lot of pushback from Wisconsin. We didn't watch Wisconsin this year because they're, you know, they scored a lot more. They did put up points. Meanwhile, they only have 11 against Montana, and we're nearing the second TV timeout. So, but it's 11-7. It's a game. Purdue's up by 10, and it's kind of a wrap between Creighton and Louisville.
Did you pick Montana?
No, I chose Wisconsin.
Oh, okay.
No, I chose Wisconsin.
I picked Montana.
You did?
Yeah.
Good job, bro.
How much Montana action did you catch this year?
Excuse me?
Okay.
I didn't watch
this thing on.
I know that you don't like Wisconsin, so I picked against them.
No, come on, man. But not enough for me to sit here and... No, I am pissed about the seeding, but I'm not going to take it out on my bracket.
No, but I'm saying a 14 is going to win. So it's just take your pick.
No.
UNC Wilmington against Texas Tech. I didn't choose that. I chose Kentucky over Troy. Yeah, I didn't choose a single 14 seed. I did choose Yale to beat Texas A&M because I think Michigan's going to take on Yale. It's the bracket gods winking at them saying, all right, you took our best player, Danny Wolf.
Oh, I see.
And here's what we're going to do. We're going to beat you without Danny Wolf.
I picked UNC.
Which I did not pick, by the way.
I picked UNC Wilmington to beat Texas Tech 14-3.
That's fun.
I did take North Carolina to the Sweet 16, though.
Yeah, me too.
To take on Michigan State.
Yeah, that's what I got.
Yeah.
Because you know that. I mean, if people are flipping out in anything, by the way. Remember that trade I came on and I talked about in my poker fantasy league?
Yeah.
People freaking out, traded Amon-Ra St. Brown for Trey McBride.
How did that work? Did either of those guys win the title?
No.
Okay.
But remember, he flipped Amon-Ra St. Brown for Trey McBride. And
somebody else. It was somebody else. Lopsided.
And by the way, but Trey McBride was the catch machine.
Yeah, he was getting 10
And the
plus.
Other guy who he got, and Ladd McConkey.
Right?
And everyone's just like, I'm a commissioner. I should void the trade.
Yeah.
I should stand in the way. It's the worst trade ever.
The DD Mekonkey.
Right? In the same way that trade worked out in the opposite way of the hue and cry, North Carolina's going to ruined West Virginia's discovery process and the lawsuit. With each round that they advance, it kind of undercuts the lawsuit, don't you think?
It kind of does, which is why we probably haven't heard anything about it.
I'm sorry. You know what undercuts the lawsuit? Just the idea of the lawsuit.
Yeah, I was about to say.
The fact that it was filed in the first place.
That thing was, but I need the National Corrupt Athletic Association sign. Please, if there's anybody who knows anybody in the government. I don't want one made. I want that one.
Just call Florio. It's probably a short drive from his house.
True that.
Florio must know somebody in the governor's office.
He knows somebody.
Felly, if you're watching, get one made.
Florio, I need that. I need that
he
one.
He doesn't. He loves
it. It's got to be somewhere, right?
It's got to be somewhere,
take it
man.
Off and put it somewhere in the governor's office. It's sitting somewhere, and somebody knows somebody in the governor's office, unless they're... The governor's office has the Roku channel. Hey, somebody in the governor's office... I want that.
We want that sign.
Yes, and have it here.
We need that sign.
How great would that be?
I need it.
They Uber that Eats sign is delivering game day deals all tournament long because you can't watch 8 hours of basketball a day on an empty stomach. Although people who root for Louisville, I think, have already emptied the contents right now. From burgers to wings, pizza to kitchen, chicken sandwiches, whatever you're craving, Uber Eats has deals on all your game day favorites, so you never have to miss a single buzzer beater. Get game day deals on all your favorites only on Uber Eats. Order now. Remember, get game day deals on all your favorites only on Uber Eats. Order now. Man, Dion's got ideas, man.
I'll tell you what, man.
Dion's got ideas. Which soundbite do we have here, Hoskins? Which one do we have here about from Dion? Oh, yeah. I mean, everybody's canceling their spring games because they're afraid of, you know, giving everybody a look at who their transfer portal victims could be the team. Because, oh, we see that kid's playing second string snaps. Somebody call him up because he could be our first stringer. Somebody get on the horn, you know.
Are people really doing that?
How come you say something like that when the number of times I say something like that, you look at me like, how can you be so naive? Am I wrong?
You are not wrong.
Okay? It's just like we just said it. I feel like that's like the movie 18 again. We just had a role reversal.
You're
like, we just changed bodies. Right? Now we got to change back again.
We got an injury here on Louisville.
Tears.
Not a good one.
Unfortunately. But you know what I mean? Like, it happens.
All right.
But you know who doesn't care about that? Dion. And you know who's thinking about a way to make this stuff relevant? Dion. You know how in the NFL now, spring games are kind of like preseason games.
Facts.
Right?
Yep.
Where I guess teams are looking at the preseason games, who are going to be the cuts so we can go get that guy? And also, what do you get out of it? You know? And so Dion had an idea of what the NFL has done, which is two teams that play each other in a preseason game scrimmage against each other all week. Now, they do, you know, hit each other like fists a lot.
Fights.
Right?
Yeah.
Because it's like 100 degrees out and it's tough. But
you're tired.
You speak to coaches. They love these scrimmages. They love it because it's live competition, but it's a scrimmage and they're getting a lot out of it. Dion wants to bring that to college ball before the spring game. Hit it.
Spring game will be televised. ESPN2 will broadcast spring game on the 19th. We got to sell this thing out and pack this thing because the way the trend is going, you never know if this is going to be the last spring game. I don't believe in that. I don't really want to condone that. I would like to play the spring. Actually, I like to play against another team in the spring. That's what I'm trying to do right now, to have it competitive. Playing against your own guys kind of get monotonous, and you really can't tell the level of your guys because, you know, it's the same old. Everybody kind of know each other. Towards the end, I would like to style it like the pros. I would like to practice against someone for a few days, then you have the spring game. And I think the public will be satisfied with that tremendously. I think it's a tremendous idea. Yeah, I've told those personnel who should understand that it's a tremendous idea.
Tremendous idea, yes? Spoken like a true Syracuse man. Because did you see who responded to that on the spot?
I loved it.
Your coach?
My guy, Fran Brown. He's in.
Said, I'll go there for 3 days.
Yep.
Now, does Dion mean that then Syracuse would play Colorado in the spring game?
Or play each other?
Yeah.
Is that what he meant? That's what I thought.
I was wondering.
But I don't think that would fly.
No, I think what would end up happening is that you scrimmage against Colorado to get Colorado ready for its spring game, or Syracuse would play Colorado. Now we're talking, no?
Now we're talking. You want to sell something out? You want to put that on TV, put that on the Deuce or something? Now we're talking.
Because why would Syracuse go there for 3 days just to get Colorado ready for its spring game? Unless maybe Syracuse is getting ready for its spring game.
For their own.
We'll get together, have a few laughs.
And they go back to Central New York and play their game.
Why not?
Why not? Right? Makes sense. And plus, it's Fran Brown is just like smart to say, we'll surf off of Deion's buzz.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. That's a good buzz.
If Deion's willing to parcel out some of his buzz,
that's a good buzz.
Wouldn't you take it?
I will.
If you're Syracuse football?
Love that buzz. Right? Love that buzz.
Makes sense. I'll dig it.
Seems like just the evolution of college football, too, and the way
you're professionalizing everything.
Yeah. I love it. I think it's great.
It is great.
Hopefully they can work something out. I don't know what I guess who cares what the NCAA rules are, really, but.
Do you need to see the sign from the governor's office?
Yeah. So who cares?
Right?
Just do it. If you want to do it, just do it.
You want to reach out to that athletic association, Chris, and say, is it okay? Well, you just do it.
Yeah, just do it. I don't know. Who cares?
And if they come after you, just have your governor threaten to sue them.
Are we sure that's a real sign? Because it just looks like it's been photoshopped onto this picture.
No, it looks like it's slid in.
That is poster board on everything. Yeah. No, that's a poster board, guys.
I mean, that is just the most janky looking sign.
No, it's not. How dare you?
It's janky.
How dare you?
Good use of the word janky.
They went down to CVS. They got a nice, thick, blue poster board.
The governor and CVS is janky.
The governor and the attorney general went tie shopping together.
Yeah. Well, it's West Virginia yellow.
I understand.
Hey, you got a free bowl of soup.
What it is.
Hey.
No. You got a free bowl of soup at the coffee shop.
Looks good on you, though.
But I assume, dude, I love the idea of Colorado and Deion just thinking outside the box. And in addition, he just hired Byron Leftwich to join the staff, too. Dude.
I thought Deion only hired Hall of Famers.
Guess what? Isn't Byron could be a college football Hall of Famer?
Actually,
right?
He might be.
Out of Marshall, remember the famous moment where he was carried down the field. He was awesome in college. And also had his moments in the pros too.
Yeah.
And is a great coach. You know that.
Real good coach.
And it's just well done. Just keep adding to the staff and coming up with ideas. We're talking about them, which is part of the process too. I love it. Seth Rollins, hour three. Yeah.
Colorado also brought in, Dumata Peko from the Bengals?
Yes.
Yeah, he's now part of the D-line coaching staff.
Now, I saw Warren held a press conference. Did you see that?
I saw a quote.
Was it to announce his new title?
I looked.
Is it title?
I looked at the new title off of Colorado's site.
Okay.
Because he was talking about Marshall.
Yeah, that's what I saw.
Which you know, Susie sent it to me, like Warren's talking about Marshall, because you know we're talking about Marshall as much as we can and Warren about as much as we can. Mm-hmm. I looked at the post from Colorado to see if they called him the pass rush coordinator.
Yeah.
They did not. They just said Warren Sapp.
All right, hold on. I'm looking.
Coach said he was down with it.
I'm trying to look up the coaching staff.
Pass rush coordinator, the PRC of CU. We got to get it done for Sapp.
Now, the website still has him as senior quality control.
No. He doesn't want that.
I know he doesn't. I'm just telling you what it says.
What's written on his forehead?
We can't repeat that on the Roku channel.
I'll just tell the story because, you know, Warren is kind of like, and he'll appreciate this, he's kind of like the Larry Dave of a football. He just like attracts people who are just for some reason are angry and you know, he gives it out. I understand. I know.
Warren
understands he might invite occasionally an approach that he doesn't appreciate.
Yes.
But he once upon a time told me There are a couple things that happened to him in an airport, and he's like, can you believe they came up to me and said that? And I'm like, no, I do not, actually. And he said, sometimes I wonder, you know what's written on my forehead? And I said, what? And he says, F with me. And he didn't use the letter F.
Yeah. What's written on my forehead?
That's what he will say.
All the time.
So...
first of all, you got to be that. Really dumb to F with.
Yes.
I don't get it.
Like, but that's what you do.
But he does attract it. I've seen it. I have seen it firsthand where I'm just like, oh, please don't.
No. What are you doing?
I've got the 99 operator manual. Please borrow it.
There is no such, what's on my forehead?
By the way, there's no such manual.
You just know.
But at any rate, this might be just the latest example of somebody effing with him. Dion does not. Dion understands. Dion has the operation manual. Pass rush coordinator prime. Put that in your hopper, too. ESPN, too. Would they televise the scrimmages? That would be great, too. I'd be up for that. Seth Rollins in hour number 3 right here on this March Madness Thursday.